following takes place between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m.
This week is special for Brother Ian, because as my co-host, I have a man like Brother Ian who is not interested in material gain. You see, my co-host this week is a great humanitarian. He is, by all means, the most generous man ever to walk the face of this earth. Who else but my benefactor? Please welcome Brother Million Dollar Man, Mike DeBate. How are we doing, Brother Mike?
Brother Ian, it's great to be here, because everybody's got a price for the Rhode Island Million Dollar Man.
Oh, and if you guys are jaws dropped to the floor, I just want to let you know that it is Valentine's Day, so of course we are going to bring out Brother Love. That's right, love is a four-letter word. Okay, look, that was, for those of you who didn't watch wrestling in the 80s and 90s, you probably have no idea what we're talking about, but if you did, hopefully you appreciated what I just put myself through, and I hope I nailed it for you. But yeah, that was Brother Love, and look, it's a Valentine's Day episode of Full Press Coverage Radio Live. That's right, February the 14th, 2020, and we figure we'll bring out a little love and compassion to the show. You know, something that sometimes can be sorely lacking.
I love you.
You know, that was pretty good, man. I got to be honest with you. That impression was pretty spot on. You can't really tell the difference between the drops and the impressions.
Yeah,
so
well,
you nailed it. Absolutely. I think, you know, this is one that we really have to preserve in the FPC Radio Live archives. This is one of those shows that I think people will come back to, and for good reason. Kudos, man. That's a guts. I will say that. It took a lot of guts. It took a lot of ingenuity. This was Ian's brainchild, folks. And yeah, you nailed it, man. You nailed it. That was great.
I don't want to admit how much time I spent on this. But look, I was thinking about it, and I was like, there was a few options I could have gone with, but I had to do the Million Dollar Man, because this speech was from when the Million Dollar Belt was introduced on the Brother Love show. So, you know, again, a little bit of history here for those WWF fans that may be listening or watching this show. There's a couple others. I mean, reliving some of the best moments of Brother Love was a fun exercise that I did yesterday, and it was certainly some really good backhanded insults that he threw. This man needs love 24/7. Talking about the Undertaker. And here you are, you got, you know, the young Undertaker just standing there all stoically, just staring at him. It's great. It's fantastic. Oh man. To only relive that one more time.
The Brother Love show was huge. If you're a wrestling fan back in the 80s, early 90s, when you heard that song and you saw Brother Love come on and his red face, and you know, you always wanted to see him get the, you know, absolute holy hell beat out of him. But by any stretch of the imagination, you knew something was coming. A lot of big stuff happened on the Brother Love show. There was, you know, the earthquake attack on Hulk Hogan. Yeah. I remember that when I was a kid. That was probably one of the most devastating moments to me as a wrestling fan. Like, you're looking at Hulk Hogan just like getting decimated by this huge behemoth of a man. These were, you know, moments that that really you know, lasted. Jake the Snake Roberts getting squirted in the eyes by Arrogance, the perfume of Rick the Model Martel. You know, just these types of things. So, you know, to revisit that on Valentine's Day, can't ask for better than that, my friend.
Well, like I said, I mean, since I was on camera, I considered going all out and going, you know, with the red face as well. But that would have required about 8 hours in the sun. And I certainly don't think I have enough aloe vera to recover from that what would have been a very devastating mistake. But I can certainly achieve that red face if I put my mind to it.
I don't even want to know how you're about to achieve that, but you know what? I'll leave that to you.
Well, like I said, I mean, I'm dedicated to my craft. Of course, that's why I felt it necessary to spend a decent amount of time yesterday preparing for that introduction, which, again, I think, you know, who knows? Maybe it will be something that we continue to do. You know, this is also something we can continue to do. We can do the whole show like this. We can just talk and just have a conversation. Just like the Brother Love Show. You know, just have this play in the background. It's very relaxing. It really is. I mean, if you think about
it. Yeah, it is. It does. It really does. It brings the mood, you know, of the room to a very relaxed, very serene type, you know, environment. I think that's what Brother Love was all about. It was serenity, you know, love your community. That's what he was all about, you know.
Love is a four-letter word. Remember that, folks. No, We actually did talk about this, and we were like, I don't know if I could do an hour straight of this, but I actually this is actually a lot easier than I thought trying to talk over this music. It's actually kind of nice. I'm going.
Yeah, I know. There's a reason why this music was playing in the background. It does. It is very conducive to voiceover. So
yes,
I agree.
It really is. Especially ones with a deep and exaggerated Southern accent. You know, you gotta enunciate long syllable words to really hit that impact. But no, I mean, we are a show that I think we talk about sports. I don't know. We kind of talk about whatever we want. And okay. So for the sake of not tuning out all of our listeners and for those who may not appreciate the love we are giving to Brother Love, Brother Mike.
The love.
Yeah. You know, okay, look, we're going to spend a little bit more time on this because I also love, and the theme of the show today is love. Yesterday was Ian was right about a lot of things. Today is just love, L-O-V-E. And Jesse the Body Ventura and Vince McMahon commenting, always commenting about, you know, why is he thanking everyone? Thank you. It's like... Oh, it's great.
Because I thank you.
Oh, it's so good. And to top it all off, he had such a great 80s and 90s mullet. Like you know, just like a heavy set, you know, rotund guy mullet. You know, one of those, like, I don't know, it's a stereotype mullet, but it was great. Everything about him. He was basically like a chubby Barry Melrose, to bring it back to sports, without the goatee and, of course, the red face, if you think about it.
Yes, and the thick glasses. But, you know, I mean, those that don't know, Brother Love was a wrestling character that was played by Bruce Pritchard, who was one of the behind-the-scenes gurus of WWE at the time. He ran a lot of point on what they call the gorilla position in wrestling, which basically means he was kind of like the choreographer. He was the on-site director of what went on in the ring. He would communicate, and, you know, the referees would wear earpieces and things like that to be able to hear certain things. So... Pritchard's been around for a number of years. He's been involved in just about every major wrestling angle you can think of. But Brother Love was something that Vince McMahon kind of gave to him as a favor and liked the character, thought it was hilarious, and thought it would make a good addition to his Saturday morning lineup. And it was. I think even at WrestleMania 5, I think he did a Brother Love show with Morton Downey Jr. at the time and Roddy Piper, which if you have the chance to go back and check it out, completely and totally 80s. If you're under 25, you'll probably look at it and not laugh one moment. But if you're over 25, you're going to really, really laugh at this because it's Piper at his peak. Morton Downey Jr. was a radio shock jock. He was like the Howard Stern before Stern started to really get going. And it really is. It's a funny episode. It's just a funny vignette. And Brother Love gets, you know, obviously pummeled from pillow to post. So it's good stuff. You definitely want to check that out. But this gave us an opportunity to revisit that. So I'm glad we did. And you nailed it, man. Again, I'm impressed.
Well, like I said, I'm just glad I didn't stumble my words. So and that's what I'm always afraid of. Of or my mic not being on. You know, that's the worst too. It's like, I think we had that other great introduction that I completely lost because my mic was off, and well, this time was not the case. So fortunately, that you know, this will live in infamy for years and years and years, and always be on the internet, because the internet is forever. No, we do have some things to talk about, and actually we're going to talk about some things that we love. Yeah, that's right, love. That's right. We're going to keep this theme going, and there's a couple of things I love. First off, news came out yesterday. Kevin Garnett, former Celtic, is going to get his number retired next year for the Celtics, and you know, I was curious to get your thoughts on it. I'm obviously all for it. I think, you know, despite, you know, what you could maybe consider a fairly short tenure, his presence on this team and just that impact that big three had with Paul Pierce, Garnett, and Ray Allen really changed around the fortunes of this franchise. And I think it's a well-deserving honor, which, again, has been given to quite a lot of people. But then again, the Celtics have had quite a lot of legendary players, and Kevin Garnett is definitely one of them.
I totally agreed. And again, not to be boring or to always, you know, agree. I know Ian and I share half of the same brain, but I completely agree with you. I mean, with Garnett's Celtics tenure, it was about quality, not quantity. Without him on that, yes, brother. Hey, yes, I am so glad that you. Yeah, your impression of Brother Love is better than mine. I got some other ones that are pretty good, but you know, that one's not one of them. I can't do this.
Brother Mike, focus. Find the love in your heart, and tell us what you feel about Kevin Garnett.
Yes, I am finding the love. No, you know, all kidding aside, Garnett was really one of the more indelible figures of the last 20 years of Boston sports, when you think about it. I mean, he came in, changed the fortunes of the franchise. I know the Ray Allen trade is what kicked it off, but Garnett's willingness to come here and to really form the first NBA super team in this era, in this generation, to me, definitely warrants him the ability to get his number retired. And I think it's a wise move by the Celtics. It's a nod to that great Celtics team, a team that could have, you know, won a little bit more, I think. Maybe the plug was pulled a little too quick. You can make that argument. But while they were together, while the trio of Garnett, Pierce, and Allen were together, that was a formidable team and really one of the best in the NBA at the time. So, well-deserved. Glad to see his number going to the Raptors in the Garden. And yet another Celtics number off the board. They're going to have to start wearing, like, you know, like 0.5 numbers, or they're going to have to start going into the deep 90s and the 80s and then things like that, because it's just – it's getting crowded up there in the Raptors in TD Garden.
You know what? They should just go with a four-number number. That's right. Just like love is a four-letter word. Okay, no. Well done, Mike. You did.
Maybe they'll start going into letters.
Yes. There you go. See, that was a good one. And I'll give you credit.
It was a little better, Ian, because, you know, I made my inflections a little bit better. That's what we do here on FBC Radio Live.
Oh, you know what? I think we're just like losing listeners by the second. I mean, we're just
we have listeners.
I
thought you and I just screwed around for an hour. I thought that was exactly what this was all about. Oh man, no, I'm kidding. I am kidding. Yeah, we probably are now. We've got to bring this back to the center here.
That's true. That's true. And to your point, and you know, you said that there could have been more, and you know, one of the things that really hurt the Celtics was the knee injury to Kevin Garnett in 2009.
Yeah,
and you think about what that team was looking to accomplish, and could have very well won back-to-back NBA titles, if not possibly a third in that few year span. But you know, obviously that injury really stunted the development of this team and how it, you know, eventually was going to be known as, and you know, it's known as a one win, two finals appearances team. But again, legendary in the sense that it brought a title to a team that hadn't seen one in 22 years. And let's face it, I mean, Kevin Garnett was one of the best players of this generation, and you know, I remember them acquiring him and how exciting it was to see a guy like that. You know, this is coming off the heels of Randy Moss being traded to the Patriots. So, you know, there's a lot of hype around Minnesota athletes coming to New England, or former Minnesota athletes coming to New England. And, you know, he was definitely one of them. And, you know, unfortunately for Randy Moss, he wasn't able to win that championship. But Kevin Garnett, you know, helped the Celtics get to that championship and win. So, and you know, he was, again, you can each one of those players, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett, they all played a very specific role. And I think, you know, if push comes to shove, if you were to ask me based on, you know, what happened in subsequent years, I think Kevin Garnett was probably the most important piece to bring that team together. Paul Pierce, obviously, you know, a Celtics legend, but I think Kevin Garnett was the most important factor for that championship team.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, without Garnett, that dynasty does not begin. And I use the word dynasty. I probably shouldn't have. I don't think that you can call that part of the Celtics era a dynasty because of the way that, you know, it ended, and maybe some of the lack of, you know, decoration that that team should have gotten. But they were on their way to becoming that. And it doesn't work without Garnett. I mean, Pierce obviously is a legend, spent his entire career for, you know, save just the end in Brooklyn, in Boston. And, you know, I think he had a cup of coffee with the Clippers, too, I believe. I'm sorry. I almost forgot that, believe it or not. But, you know, I mean, he's forever remembered as a Celtic, and he was one of the original, you know, members of that team. Obviously, not a bring in, but without Garnett, again, I just don't think that works. I think he changed the complexity of that team. He changed the attitude of that team. All of a sudden, they became more about work ethic. They became more about camaraderie, and he was a big, big part of that. So, again, I think it's well deserved, and I'm glad to see Kevin's number being raised to the rafters in TD Garden. I think it's well deserved. I really do. I hope someday Ray can get his too, because I think he deserves that. I know there's still a lot of acrimony there, and I really wish it wasn't the case. Because I do believe that his contributions were key in that realm as well. I was always a big fan of Ray Allen at UConn. I was very happy to see him come to Boston. Was sad to see the way it all ended, and I hope that that can be worked out someday as well.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I love the players, you know, what they did on the court and all that. This like grudge that, you know, some of these, you know, Paul and Kevin and all those guys hold against Ray, it's kind of childish in my opinion, and they should probably just kind of grow up and get over it, because again, you know, you're bemoaning a guy for making a decision that, you know, ultimately doesn't affect you know, impact your life negatively. It's just, you know, you got to get over it. And that was him. So yeah, did I hate him going to the Heat? Of course I did. That stung. And it's like, you know, of all the teams he could have gone to, he goes to the Miami Heat to go play with LeBron James. But you know, again, I'm not holding a grudge against Ray Allen. He's still one of my favorite players. And you know, again, it's you know, I hope those players get over it, and one day they can all kind of get together and talk about that run, because you know, you did call it a dynasty, and yeah, I agree. It's definitely not a dynasty by any means, but it was a fun, quick era of Celtics basketball that really rejuvenated this whole franchise from really a down time, because you remember the year before, 2006, was the franchise's worst record, and it you know, you did a complete 180, and you know, look, that kind of set the framework and the foundation for, you know, teams believing that, like you said, that can put together these all-star game or all-star teams and then win right away. And it's not that easy. The collection of those three, along with every, you know, all the other players involved. I mean, you know, we can't dismiss some of the bench players. Obviously, I'm beating myself up because I've been sitting here watching today's Celtics all day, so I'm blanking on some of the names. But I should just hand in my Celtics fan card right now. But whatever. Anyways, this is a momentary lapse in conscious and a lack of coffee right now. So, but anyways, it was. You know, look, it was a great era of Celtics basketball. It was fun. It rejuvenated this team, and it gave it some more cachet again. And obviously, they haven't been able to win since. You know, it's been 12 years, but they've been a competitive team. And now, look, I mean, they've gone through another rebuild, but it's a different mindset this time. This rebuild was not of, you know, early 2000s Celtics, you know.
post the Eastern Conference Championship run. This is, you know, a rebuild with hope. And look, you know, to kind of transition to the present time, we're starting to see that kind of come to fruition, which, you know, going back to the criticism that Danny Ainge got for drafting Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and now you're looking at it, like, Jason Tatum is clearly the best player in that draft. I don't think there's any question right now who has really just taken this superstardom role and ran with it, and it's clearly Jason Tatum, who seems to be elevating his play year in and year out. He looks to have really taken a step forward this year with Kemba Walker and you know, Kyrie Irving gone, and 39 points last night in a double overtime victory against the LA Clippers, against former. See, we're all bringing it back, full circle. So of course, Doc Rivers was the coach of that Celtics team. Now he's the coach of the Clippers, and that was a great game last night, and I definitely stayed up to watch that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, I know you talk about your Celtics, you know, the fan card and all that, but, you know, I mean, there's a lot of excitement, you know, going on, especially in Boston right now. You know, the negative way the Patriots season ended. Of course, there's a lot of buzz about the offseason, and that will always be, I think, the king of, sports stories around here for a little while. Unfortunately, you know, it's spring training. Usually this is a big time for Red Sox fans and everybody looking to get going. And there's just, I think there's a malaise on the team right now. And I think we should probably wait and see how this team shakes out before we completely write the epitaph for the 2020 season for them. But Celtics and Bruins right now are definitely, the kings in terms of what is going on in Boston. So exciting times. And I definitely agree with you. I mean, you know, check these games out, check these teams out, because both of these teams right now look like they're posed to make a pretty strong run in the playoffs.
James Posey, that's who it was driving me crazy. I couldn't think of James Posey's name. That's who I was thinking of, because James Posey was huge,
yeah, key member of that team. Absolutely,
very, very key member. So, it was a big win for the Celtics last night. They look like a team that, again, night and day from Kyrie Irving being there and Kemba Walker being there. I mean, it's very clear, and they've spoken about it, that, you know, last year they seemed like they were kind of without roles. They, you know, without speech, they were without roles. They had no idea what they were doing. Now it seems like they're all kind of working in unison towards a very specific goal, and that is to win and to compete for an NBA championship. And look, there were a lot of people that said going into the season they were a 45-win team. Well, they have 38 wins before the All-Star break. So I would say that was that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, pretty good. In any case, I agree with you. I think that a lot of people misjudge this team. You really got to give a lot of credit to Brad Stevens in terms of the coaching acumen that he brings to the table, the way he gets these guys to play together. And I think it also sheds a lot of light on some of the difficulties he probably had with this team last year and the reasons why they weren't able to really gel and become a cohesive unit. Then look, before I want to turn this into a Kyrie hate fest, because I know a lot of, you know, there's a lot of acrimony when it comes to Kyrie and how that all ended. You know, look, I don't think he was the proper fit here. I don't think this is the type of team that he fit with, and he needed to move on, and, you know, whatever. That was his business. That was his right to do so, and he did that. But I think what the Celtics have done to replace that and make this team even better, to me, is very impressive. So credit to Danny Ainge, credit to Brad Stevens, but credit to those guys on the court like Tatum and especially Walker coming in and being such an impact player for the Celtics this year. It really has made all the difference.
Absolutely, absolutely. And with that, we are going to take a very brief break. You know, we'll be back in about 30 seconds. Stay tuned, chill out, relax, enjoy the love, folks. And welcome back to the Brother Ian and Brother Mike show. That's right, we are taking over FPC Radio Live. And on this special Valentine's Day,
We're going to welcome in a special guest. That's right. He knows love because he gives love 24/7, 365 days a year. That's right. He is Mr. Rodney Dangerfield. That's right, Rodney. How are you doing, Brother Rodney? I need you to tell me about some love. Give the crowd out there some advice about love.
Oh, Brother Rian, and I got to tell you, it's great to be here on FBC Radio Live. You know, I love it. It's great. I never saw such a beautiful landscape around here. Looks like all the trees threw up. Oh, you know, I'll tell you, you know, Valentine's Day, it's not an easy day for me, Ian. You know, it's not. It's a very, very difficult day for me, you know. You know, my wife and I, you know, we were happy for 20 years, you know, and then we met. Oh, so, you know, it's definitely not easy. But, you know, at the beginning, my wife, she tried, you know. You know, she tried. She made me dinner one time. She made me chocolate mousse. Yeah, an antler got stuck in my throat. You know, I don't get any respect. I'm sorry. I can't, you know. It's unbelievable. It's just tough to stay married, though. You know, my wife kisses the dog on the lips, yet she won't even drink from my glass, you know. It's a tough day. You know, I don't enjoy the love. I don't feel the love, Ian. You know, it's very difficult. You know, lately, my wife, I feel like she's trying to always get rid of me, you know. The other day, she told me to put the garbage out. I told her I already did. She says, well, go outside and keep an eye on it then. Oh, you know. I can't do it. But you know what? I think the problem started in the bedroom, Ian, and I'm sorry to bring it down there, but you know, I have to, you know. My wife, she used to be afraid of the dark, and then she saw me naked. Now she's afraid of the light. Oh, you know, I don't get any respect. It's tough. It's tough. It's a tough day. Tough day, Valentine's Day. You know, with my wife, I don't get any respect, you know. One time on Valentine's Day, I made a toast to her. I stood up. I says, hey, to the best woman a man ever had. Half the men in the bar raised their glasses too, you know. I got a funny feeling my wife plays around. You know, last year I thought I was getting lucky on Valentine's Day, Ian, if you can believe that. You know, my wife told me she wanted sex in the back seat of the car, and then she handed me the keys and told me to drive. Oh, you know, I don't get any respect. You know, my wife met me at the... thanks for the pity. Thanks for the pity laughs, you know. My wife met me at the door the other night. She had some real sexy lingerie on, Ian. Yeah, but the fortunate part was she was coming home. Oh, you know, so I had to tell my wife the truth. You know, her behavior, it makes me want to see a psychiatrist, you know. Then she told me the truth. She told me she was seeing a psychiatrist, two plumbers, and a bartender. Oh, you know, my wife likes to play around. When she said I do, I should have said with who. Oh, you know, but at least, you know, my psychiatrist's a nice guy. You know, my doctor, Ian, Dr. Vinny Boom Butts, you know.
That's right.
I got no respect from him either. You know, I told him I needed an analysis of my sex life. He called in the coroner. Oh, you know, it's unbelievable. You know, I told the doctor, every time I look in the mirror, I feel like throwing up. He says, I don't know what's wrong with you, but your eyesight is perfect. Oh, you know, I'm getting out of respect. You know, I told him lately, doctor, I feel like I'm going to die any minute. He said, from now on, all sessions are to be paid in advance. That's the kind of respect I get. You know, Valentine's Day, I don't feel any love yet.
Give it up for Rodney Debatefield right there, folks.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Man. You've been beautiful. You've been beautiful. Stay nice to each other, you know, but don't be nice to me. I don't deserve it. I don't get any respect.
Oh, man, that was fantastic, and I'm not going to lie. I my jaw is killing me right now trying to hold in and not laugh, so... Hopefully, again, we haven't seen listeners plummet, but that was pretty good. I mean, what other show brings you Brother Love and Rodney Dangerfield all in the same program, all within 20 minutes of each other?
And what happened? I had something to do. What did I miss Rodney? Damn, yeah. It. I always miss Rodney. It's unbelievable.
You must have cut out. It's that damn Rhode
damn
Island
it,
internet.
That $3 internet Rhode Island. It's unbelievable. You know, Bob's fish chips and internet. You know, it's really bad up here. You know?
I'll tell you what. If Mr. Kraft wants to try to pay Tom Brady in internet credits from Rhode Island, you can probably kiss Tom Brady goodbye. But fortunately. Ooh. Fortunately for us, that is not the case. Fortunately, the Patriots are clearly... getting Mike Debate back on the phone. Okay, there we go. We did drop you that time.
That really was the $3 internet. I apologize
you.
For that. I have no idea what the hell happened there, but I have returned, folks.
Good, good. Well, what I was saying was what had happened was obviously, Robert Kraft is not going to be paying Tom Brady in internet credits from Rhode Island. That's just not going to happen. I'm sure Tom Brady has much better internet than you do. what he will be doing is paying him in dollar bills, y'all. And I expect them to pay him a lot of money. At least, you know, obviously not an exorbitant amount of money, but relative to what he deserves, I think he will get paid. And it's starting to resonate with some people out there that, yes, they believe Tom Brady will be back. And there's been some discussions that he will be back with one caveat. More weapons. Yes, that's right. Weapons with a Z, folks. And look, we make fun of this, you know, weapons and this relation to fantasy football that people make, calling, you know, wide receiver one, wide receiver two, yada, yada, yada. We know the facts we know are this. The Patriots do need to improve offensively in terms of their skill position players. Most notably, obviously, tight end. They don't really have one at all. So that has to change. And look, you probably need to add another receiver. I don't think you need a massive overhaul. I think there's a lot of talent on this Patriots roster. I think they ran out of time last year to figure it out. So, again, I've been saying for a long time, and I will continue to say it, and I will continue to remind everyone that I said it. It makes no sense for Tom Brady to go anywhere else but New England than to stay in New England. And by all accounts, this little tidbit about, you know, the Patriots being motivated to do that tells me that, again, I mentioned it yesterday, you might see a move here prior to the start of the boom of free agency that's going to precipitate the Brady signing. And yeah, this only makes me feel a little bit stronger about that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's so easy to fall victim to a lot of the pieces that are out there. And everything that you read about, this one says 99.6% they're done with him. You know, then you read about, oh, he's definitely going to do this, or he bought a house here, or he was seen over the weekend in Beverly Hills, so that means he's looking for stuff in Los Angeles. I mean, really, we've talked about this several times, Ian. We've talked about this being like a game of where in the world is Carmen Sandiego. It really is ridiculous. When you take a look at it, in its core, it's very difficult for me to envision a scenario where it's going to be more beneficial for Tom Brady to leave and go elsewhere, or it's going to be more beneficial for the Patriots to bring in somebody else. Look, Bill Belichick is a pragmatist, and this latest report indicates that. He knows there's not another quarterback out there that he's going to be able to bring in and be able to win, and win right away. That's what's important to Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick is not looking for a long, sustained rebound here. Man's, you know, in his late 60s, he's not the type of person that is going to be coaching well into his mid to late 70s. I don't believe. I really and truly believe that. I know Bill Belichick lives, eats, you know, breathes football, but at the same time, I don't see him, you know, coaching for, you know, more than 10 more years, or, you know, in any case like that. I don't believe that's going to be the case. He wants to chase, and he wants to do it now. He knows that the best opportunity that he's going to get to do it is with Tom Brady under center. If you're Brady, where else are you going to be able to go to have the kind of success, the kind of, you know, protection that he's going to have in the lineup other than New England? And there are ways to do it. There are ways to be able to circumvent the cap. I know a lot of people love to believe that the cap is going to end up being the problem. I encourage you. Miguel Benzon of Boston Sports Journal is the best source for salary cap information for the New England Patriots. For every report that you hear about it being impossible for the Patriots to financially bring back Brady, I encourage you to follow him on Twitter. I encourage you to read his material, listen to his, you know, wherever he appears on podcasts, which he has appeared a couple of times on Locked On Patriots. Cheap pop there.
Cheap pop.
But absolutely cheap pop. But no, in all actuality, it's been my honor to welcome Miguel onto the show, because he brings a level of insight that you just don't get at the national level. And that's not a knock to any of these national guys. They just don't have the insight to the Patriots' inner workings and their salary cap the way Miguel has it. So he's outlined several scenarios where this is not only feasible, but probable. So again, I saw this report last night, and it really didn't surprise me. To me, this is like the voice of reason, where that one guy in the middle of the field yelling, "See, I told you so," and that one guy just happens to be Ian right here. So that's what
that's
he's
right.
doing. He's yelling at the top of his lungs, "I told you so, and I've been telling you this all along."
Except today, this is what I'm yelling. That's right.
That's right.
Today's about
That's
love.
Right.
It's Valentine's
that
Day.
Is right. Today is about love. Yes. And we don't love the hot takes. We just don't. You know, we can't find love in our heart for those hot takes.
I thought you were going to say it was more probable than not that Brady returns.
My Patriots fandom cannot allow me to use those words together. I will not do so. I just can't do that. You know, I mean, when you want to talk about, you know, love, you know, you mentioned Ted Wells and, you know, it makes me want to vomit, you know. Yeah. Oh, Rodney is back.
He pops in from time to time.
Oh, I'm back from the dead, you know, the resurrection here. We got another taker standing in the background, I'll tell you. You know, feeling the love here, Ian, you know. Maybe we should get a case on, too.
Needs love 24/7. The Undertaker needs our love, Brother Rodney.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, you know what he needs? He needs a Motel 6. We'll leave the light on for him, you know? Yeah. Speaking of Motel 6, the other night, my wife wanted to talk dirty during sex. The problem is she called me from her hotel room. Oh, you know?
might be the best sound clip. It's just the generic. I labeled it generic studio laughter.
Yeah, generic studio laughter. You should rename it pity laughter, you know? Thank you.
You know, one thing I don't have pity on is the Astros. See, you like these transitions? We're doing pretty good with those.
This is getting good. Yeah, yeah, we're getting very dangerously good at these.
You know? Exactly. Dangerously cheesy, indeed. But look, they obviously came out I don't even know. I mean, we brought it up yesterday, and I continue to talk to people online and converse with people online that somehow think that this situation mirrors exactly what Spygate in the Patriots situation was, when in fact it has absolutely nothing to do with one another. I equate this to, you know, if you were to compare this to what the Patriots situation to what the Astros did, this is what would happen. The coaches on the field, standing directly across the field from the other coaches, would receive the signals from a camera up above. So for some reason, you would bypass looking directly across the field and looking at the coaches yourself, and would then rely on a delayed relay from up above. So again, logically, it doesn't make sense that these two things are the same. And it's just basically a very lazy comparison to the two in so many ways, not only in the actual substance and the actual acts involved and the intent and everything that went along with it, but in the way things have been handled since. It has been do my math, 10 carry the 3 times 7, 13 years since Spygate, okay? And not once in those 13 years has a player, coach, executive, anyone come out with anything to prove anything more than what we know about Spygate, and that is simply the tapes that we've seen in the past. And I'm talking no former player that's holding a grudge. I'm sure there are some. You know, no franchise is perfect. There are plenty of players that hold grudges against the Patriots. But it's no coincidence that none of them have said anything, because, again, there's nothing to say. So all this idea that the Patriots' situation went beyond exactly what we saw, and that was the tapes of the, you know, just basically the signals in an undisclosed or unapproved area. Other than that, there's nothing to compare. On the other hand, you look at the Astros situations. When did this come out? November, it started to be investigated. It is February, 4 months later. I mean, I don't even want to get into what percentage of time that is compared to the time spent since Spygate. We've seen mountains more evidence and corroborating evidence. And that's the key, not speculation. Folks confuse speculation with evidence and facts, and that's not the case. Speculation can take on a life of its own. It, you know, if you're a kid, have you ever played that game Telephone? Yeah, no, I mean, I know you have, Mike. Of course you have. Actually, in fact, that's how folks communicate in Rhode Island still, because of how bad the infrastructure is. Thank you, Studio 38. Do we even have Mike on the line? Mike, are you there? Brother Mike. Okay, apparently Brother Mike is not with us right now. Oh, wait. I think I hear
no.
Okay.
No, I am back.
He's back. Okay.
I have returned, yes.
Okay, so
yes,
anyway.
I was absolutely saying that, yes, I have played telephone before. Yes, we do communicate on two tin cans and a string. Yes, it's all the fault of 38 Studios, and I think that pretty much catches us up.
Okay, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's where I was at. I was blaming everything on Rhode Island, so... Actually, I don't even know where I was. Oh, yeah, so Astros. Anyways, all the players, all the coaches, everything that have come out, the public apologies or you know, lack thereof. I mean, you can sit here and we can debate and pick apart what the apology actually was, because I don't think it was that much of an apology. But the information is out there. The structure is out there. The system was out there. There's emails with referencing it. All this stuff that just did not ever exist with Spygate. But folks out there that hate the Patriots want you to think that it did, and it really didn't. None of it existed, and yet people are still lazily comparing the two. So quit it. Stop. Educate yourself, folks. Really. I mean, I understand people are going to hate certain teams. I hate certain teams. I hate the Canadians. They may be great. They may suck. I still hate them nonetheless. It's just how it is. But I'm not going to sit there and let that blind, you know, my judgment or my common sense or my reasoning. I mean, just folks, come on. Just think about it logically. Look at the facts. Lay it out. Put it side by side if you have to. You know, a pros and cons list. But, you know, Spygate Patriots and spying Astros. Make a list of what you know about each. Actually, no, not speculation. Actually, no, and you'll be stunned how much longer that list is for the Astros.
Oh, it's true. I mean, but again, we've talked about this ad nauseum when it comes to this situation. People want to believe the Patriots cheated. People want to believe that this was an elaborate scam, an elaborate scheme that the Patriots concocted that's been going on for 20 years. This is what they want to believe. So are they going to educate themselves, my friend? Absolutely not. No one is, because they'd rather live in the ignorance, because it's what they want. They want to believe that the Patriots cheated, because it makes them feel better about their own teams. And really, I mean, you look at some of the fan bases that keep hopping on this over and over and over again. They're jealous of the Patriots' mm-hmm. success. And that's what it comes down to. When it comes to the Astros, though, there is a level of arrogance and a level of, I think, just... for lack of a better term, and I can't think of the actual word that I want to use at this point, hubris. But they just do not have the hubris. Hubris is, I think, probably a good one, but they just, I think cluelessness is really just really what struck me yesterday. They just, I mean, you come up and say, we apologize because we broke the rules. Well, no, you're apologizing. You're sorry you got caught breaking the rules. Yeah. That's what this comes down to. I thought Bregman came off very disingenuous. I thought Altuve came off very disingenuous. These are two guys, more so Altuve than Bregman. I think any, you know, Red Sox fan can kind of remember what he said about Fenway and not have too much love for him. But Altuve, I think, is a guy that everybody wanted to root for. He seemed like the type of guy that everybody really wanted to get behind. And these guys just seem like, you know, like, what's the big deal? Why is everybody coming down on us? We're the victims here. No, you're not the victims. You guys were a part of an elaborate scheme to get a competitive advantage over a team. And I think this is something that needs to be brought to light. I thought that the PR department for the Houston Astros really, really did a poor job of hammering home this message. If you wanted to try to get the sentiment of public opinion back on your side,
that was not
what
the way
happened
to do it.
Yesterday was not the way to do it at all. If you're in PR, folks, look at this. Look at that situation yesterday and blast it all over your textbooks, all over
what
your notes, and say, don't let this happen to you, because to me it was a total disaster yesterday.
Yeah, look, they fumbled that worse than Tiki Barber before Tom Coughlin. And you know, we all remember what chronic fumbling issues Tiki Barber had back in the day. Look, you hit the nail on the head. It was arrogance. It was you know, hubris. It was everything you can think of, because they were tone deaf. They went up there, talked about, we don't think this helped us. Well, again, to bring it back to the Patriots situation, you can draw a direct correlation between instances of when this started, how it affected games, and where it impacted games, something you could never do with the Patriots and Spygate, because that evidence just didn't exist. And it's not because they couldn't find it. It's just it didn't exist, because it didn't happen. It was a system meant for, again, the Patriots were arrogant too. Bill Belichick was arrogant. That's part of the reason why he got fined and they got punished, because they thought, you know, that they found a loophole, and that is they could record without using it in-game and still keep the footage. Well, no, that wasn't the case, and that's what they got fined for, and that's what it should have been. Instead, it mushroomed into this massive conspiracy that have led to just, you know, books and craziness across all sports and or all social media and channels and all that stuff. But in the case of the Astros, you have everything there. You have a team that was perennially a very bad team that all of a sudden turned it around, and you could draw, you know, very specific points as to where this change happened. And yeah, so again, very, 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 very arrogant, very cocky, very a lot of things. And the one thing that really, really they should have is, you know, they just need a little more love. That's right.
Love That's right.
is a four-letter word that the Astros just don't have. They need more love in their heart. Folks, it has been my pleasure to bring you this show, this show with Brother Ian and Brother Million Dollar Man, Mike DeBate. That's right, folks. It is Valentine's Day, and we just want to spread the love to everyone out there. So, folks, be sure to follow us on Twitter. That's right. I don't know what Twitter is, but I'm going to tell you to follow it. It is at IGLEN31. That's right. And Brother Mike, Million Dollar Man, Mike DeBate, he is at MDABATEFPC. And with that said, I got one more phrase for you all, and that is, I love you. Have a great day, folks, and we'll see you on Monday.